Yeah. So, Kashalai Pridaskan, this is the last Craig walks in the room, and I say, Kashalai Pridaskan. This is the last year in Bava Kama for now, and again, obviously, very rich topics, some of which we'd had a chance to begin to investigate, but of course there's so much more, so many more topics, and so much more in each topic. So I thought what we would do is just to continue with the last topic that we began last week, the topic of Zenene Vezelo Koser. It's a fascinating topic. So this we'll discuss a little more about the Shakravatarya, the Gemara first, and then go back to the issues that we began to discuss. And I think I mentioned already last week that in one sense, are there marmakomos?
Yeah.
You have? Oh, great. Okay. If you have one for me, I can. What's that?
Isn't that my job?
No, I mean, with the mishur sadid, it gives me the opportunity to thank you. First of all, to acknowledge your virtual honor.
Donations can be sent.
You know that that could mean so many different things. You know, now that it's, the way it came out.
Yeah.
But so Mazel Tov on that.
Thank you.
Both on the honor and the fact that it's also virtual.
Yes.
But also to thank you again, just for all the work that you do in terms of the Marmokomos and the website and all the other good things that we, we benefit from or people benefit from, and we don't. We don't acknowledge often enough, so Mazel Tov.
Thank you, Rebbe.
And we, I guess by extension, a Mazel Tov to the, to the Aviha honoree, right? Or the Aviha virtual honoree. Okay. So, if you have an extra one, I'll take one.
Yes.
I forgot to bring my own.
Just in case.
But again, if somebody else needs, I have. Okay. So, welcome everyone. We have a new member on the last day of the Shir. So, welcome to Adam. And, so we started the Sugya last week on the Mishnah on Yutesun Day. So, the Gemara in Chaf Omid Aleph, the Chaf Aleph, Omid Aleph. I'm going to read through the Gemara again because we only began it. The topic is Zenene, the Zelo Chaser. And I was trying to explain last week that, in some respect, this is a good, closing topic because it is kind of the parallel opposite of what we began with and what we've been dealing with all year. All year we've been dealing with the significance of Hezek, and especially Hezek that is more agav or indirect or passive, at least vis-a-vis the party who's going to end up paying the bill or pay for the Nezek. Mostly we've not been dealing, we did spend a good chunk of time on Adam HaMazik, but mostly we've been discussing this year Nizkei Mamon. And Nizkei Mamon, right, Kishmam Kein Haim, that's what they are, right, Hashor, Habor, right, Hahever, Mava if it means Shane, right, there's Karen and Shane and Regel and Aish and Bor, and in all those cases, even more so than Adam HaMazik, you have a situation where somebody is linked to someone else's loss, even though they themselves are not directly, the cause of it. And for that reason, for example, the Gemara had a Havamina that maybe told the same as Lav Ki Yotzbahem in the beginning of the Masechta, that that kind, which according to Rashi's understanding, is a kind of ein l'chabo el chidusho, meaning it's not so obvious that you should pay, for damage that takes place, not at your hand, but at the hand of your property. So in a way, and then we started the year discussing, is there an Iser l'hazik, and how does it relate to Gezel, all sorts of other, related issues, all of which highlights this kind of interesting question. And that is, what is Mazik all about? Is it really about the quid pro quo, the loss, the fact, that you cause a loss, you should be paying for it? Even if there's no official you know, Maisa, Hezek, etc. Is there any Maisa Vera here? Is it like Gezel? Is it like Gneva? Is it like Rotseach? Is it like Oshek? Right? What exactly is Maisa? And now, kind of, we're going to end on the parallel opposite theme, and that is the theme of, you know, Mishalem Mashanen. So the Mishnah says here on your Testament base, this part we read last week, you don't need to, you know, say much more about it, but the Mishnah comes into play on this second parak of Bava Kamma, because the Mishnah repeats what we already know is one of the main Hilchoseim, and that is that Shein and Regel are exempt versus a rabbit. If your animal eats or steps on, or something parallel to either eating and stepping on, meaning hana in the case of Shein, and derech hilucho in the case of Regel, in Rishus HaRabim, so then there's a p'tur hezek. You don't have to pay for that damage. If the animal walked into the Rishus of the Nizak, right, and damaged inside that other person's property, then of course that's the din, and that's the reason that it's one of the Avos Hazikim. But Rishus HaRabim is a p'tur. But the Mishnah says, nonetheless, that even though you're p'tur, if the animal in question derived pleasure and benefit, then mishalemes mashanemes. Right? That's where it comes in. And the question is, how do we understand that you're patur from nezek, but you have to pay the amount that corresponds, you know, to the hana? What kind of halacha is that at all? And then last week we spoke about Rabba and Rava in the Gemara on Chafa and Aleph, who have a debate. You know, again, there's a huge, discussion in the Rishonim, what exactly the case is and what the parameters are. How much do you really pay, Mishalemes, Mashanenes, even in this particular case? Meaning, let's say, you know, the damage was $100, right? And let's say the benefit can be calculated in different ways. If you, you know, want to benefit, if you want to calculate the benefit from a nutritional, let's say, perspective, in other words, this animal benefited from eating this particular food, how much did it benefit, right? Which is still different from how much it damaged in a particular case. So you're going to get a relatively high figure. Or does benefit mean in a generic way, meaning what is the minimum that the owner saved because he doesn't have to give his animal a meal? But let's say, would it make a difference if the owner typically feeds, you know, his animal, you know, champagne or, you know, maybe just barley, or he only actually gives, bare bones generic teven? Would that matter in either direction? So there's this debate between Rabba and Rava, which in my opinion is a very critical debate. So what is this debate all about? It could just be a debate about how you assess Hana when there is a chiyuv of Hana. That's what we talked about. That's this Gemara in Chafam and Aleph. Or it could be that the Machlokas goes back to the Mishnah itself and back to the Halacha and its framework. Namely, the idea is that Shein and Rego and Rishus HaRabim are Potur Minezek. Right? So in light of that, how do we understand the chiyuv of Mishalemes Mashanenes? So one way to look at it is, there's absolutely no chiyuv mitzad nezek, because there's an absolute p'tur that neutralizes that chiyuv, p'tur of Rishus HaRabim. So the idea that you're mshalei mashanenes is a new chiyuv, and it's based on the mechayiv, based on the factor of hana itself. Mainly, the very fact that you're nene from me means I have to pay you. I'm sorry, the very fact that I'm nene from you means that I owe you the amount of the hana. Just like we say, Mamoni Gabach, we'll say Hanaasi Gabach. The guy could say, you know, this is comes from me, so I should be getting a check in the mail, right, for that. That has nothing to do with the Nezek. Or, no, the way that we look at this is the other way, and that is that really there was Nezek here. But it was in Rishus HaRabim, and therefore the Torah, you know, exempted you from paying for it. So you inflicted a $100 damage, let's say, had it been Brishus HaNizek, you'd pay $100. Since it was Brishus HaRabim, so you don't pay the full amount, because there's a special Chiddush HaTorah that, you know, you don't pay, you know, damages Brishus HaRabim, per se. But maybe Legabe, right, with respect to the amount of Mashanenis, maybe you do pay damages. So then it's really a qualification of the exemption of damages, not so much a new chiyuv. Right? And maybe that's what the discussion of Rabba and Rava and the various Rishonim and the factors is all about. But this, of course, then provides, and this is what we discussed last week, a framework for the next part of the Gemara, where the Gemara discusses this question even more broadly. That is the question of Mishalemes or Mishalem, Mashanene, and the relationship between Zenen and Zelachasa. So that's why I want to start reading, and I want to get at least to some of the basic approaches of that today. So again, the reason I said this is a parallel topic is because if we were talking earlier about what happens in Nezek, right, and especially even Nezek, which just kind of happens, the Sheval Tasa, from your point of view, meaning I own my cow, right, but my cow does the damage. Right? I didn't physically do the damage. I'm not talking about Adam Amazik here. Right? But nonetheless, the reality is that something from my world ends up undermining the value, right, of your world. And therefore, from a quid pro quo point of view, meaning doesn't seem right that, you know, that you should suffer because of something that I own, that constitutes a basis for some sort of a chiyuv. But what happens, that's the negative side. What happens on the positive side of that? Let's say instead of causing you grief, right, and diminishing your net worth, let's say I did exactly the opposite. Let's say due to me, right, you have benefited and been enriched. But once again, there was no contractual obligation, and maybe there was not even a proper, you know, maisa, you know, or a virtual one either, meaning it was just a string of events which ended in you having benefited. So is that just like, you know, good karma, you know, good mazel, whatever you want to call it, you know, or, you know, just a wonderful confluence, you know, that that this person benefits from? Or is there a quid pro quo in that, you know? You're $100 richer now, hana-wise, and it's because of me, right? Shouldn't I share some or all, you know, of that benefit? So it's exactly, you know, a parallel to what we've been dealing with. Anyways, so the Gemara introduces this part of the topic with the famous discussion here on the bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph. Just going to run through the Gemara a little more quickly today, and then we began to discuss some things last time. I want to elaborate them. Amalir of Chizvah, the Ram Bar Chama. This is 3-6 lines down. Lo haviz gabon beurta betchuma. Says you weren't with us yesterday at the tchum. As obviously this took place from a time when tchum matters, a Shabbos or Yontif. Right, there was some sort of a discussion. He said, pity you missed out on this stimulating, you know, shir that took place. The Bailon, right, we were all discussing, wondering, analyzing, Mili Mal Yasa, a really interesting thing. Okay. Somebody says that to you, you know, so you take the bait, you know. Okay. I just want you to know that you missed out on the stimulating shir. It was really great. See you next week. Right, you know? So he says, Omar, my mili mal yasa. He said, you know, okay, I'll bite. You know, what were you discussing? So he said, Amalei hador b'chatzach haveru shalom midaito tzorech lahalos oschar o ein tzorech. The discussion we had was whether or not if somebody squats on somebody else's property, meaning he had no permission to be there, somebody else is clearly somebody else's property, is he obligated to pay, you know, for his night's lodging, or not? So the Gemara says, Echidami. What's the case? Right? What are the details of this case? So the Gemara says, Ilema b'chotza de lokaim liagra v'gavad lovad lemegar. If it's a property which is typically not used to generate income by this individual, right? So basically, he didn't lose anything by someone else occupying the property, because either way, right there, he doesn't, you know, rent out this property, right? So there's no, you know, lost rental, you know, fee, you know, in that respect. And not only that, it's also a gabra, the law of it, lemegar. The squatter, you know, he's a popular squatter, right? So he's got plenty of places, you know, to hang his hat, you know, and to put down his head. And he chose this one, right? But it's not as if by doing this he saved himself $100 hotel fee, because either way he wasn't going anywhere where he had to pay $100, because he had other options either way. So if there is no lost income and he's not someone who benefited financially either, says the Gemara, that ze lo nene ve ze lo chaser. So that is constitutes ze lo nene ve ze lo chaser, and that should be pashut that he doesn't have to pay. As I mentioned, I think last time, it's not so pashut, is it? I mean, in the end of the day, there's still a violation of bailus. Right? It's a, maybe you could argue it's a kind of a gezo, right? Or can it be a gezo without a chaser? That's an interesting question. Okay. We'll see if we get a chance, or I'll just tell you now in case we don't get a chance. The Sma in Chosha Mishpat, Simon Shin Samach Gimel, I believe Steve Katan Yadalid, makes a diuk in the tour that there is a case of Ze lo nene veze lo chaser, which might be chayv, as we'll see in a couple of minutes. But it has its, you know, precedent in a more obvious case, is the less obvious case, and that is what happens if the owner in advance, you know, makes clear his dissatisfaction. In other words, he publicly or whatever, he proclaims in a way that it is you know, unequivocal that it's unacceptable to him that anybody should squat in his property. We'll see in a moment, does he have the right to do that? It's an interesting question. And even if he has the right to do that, what are the consequences? So that's an interesting question. The Gemara, the Rishonim, will discuss that case in a case of ze nene v'ze lo chaser. But they never discuss that case in the case of ze lo nene v'ze lo chaser. Okay? But the Sma is medayik in the tour, you know, who seems to think that if there was an advance, again, explicit, unequivocal rejection of any squatting in the property, right, that even if it was lo nene and lo chaser, meaning he doesn't typically rent this property out, he just doesn't want somebody squatting in it. That's not so difficult, you know, for us to contemplate. And the other fellow is not nene because he could put, you know, he could hang his hat somewhere else, as I said. So ze lo nene, ze lo chaser. But he's also violating the explicit, you know, wishes of the owner. So will you be chayv in that case? So the Sma thinks that the tour thinks that you would be chayv, even if it's lo nene ve lo chaser. Does that make sense? Is that possible? I mean, what are you chayv for? There's no chaser and there's no nene. The answer, if you ask me, is that there's still something to be chayv for, and that's the violation of bailus. And this kind of goes to a very critical question, that is, what is bailus? We're not going to answer this question tonight, but it's an important halachic slash question, philosophical question. What is bailus? Right? Does bailus something that is a consequence of any, in other words, any owner can express, you know, his insistence about his, you know, exclusive use of the property, no matter what? Or does there have to be some correspondent, objective, you know, benefit? You know, something you can put a dollar figure to. Something without a dollar figure, in objective terms, is that still you know, part of the prerogative of Bailey? I think that's a very critical question. I'm sure that the American law has much to say about this question, probably. No? I got a nod. That's what I wanted. Thank you.
A bundle of rights.
Bundle of rights?
That's what I
remember. American law says that you can have punitive damages even if there was no harm done, just from trespassing, because trespassing is so bad that trespassing is a harm.
Trespassing per se is just a violation of ownership. That's so interesting. Okay. Wow. Okay, you're going to be our goat from now on. You're our. You said it more decisively than the more veteran lawyers here.
I thought you were asking about property rights.
Ownership rights, property rights. I am talking about that. He's saying that trespass, but it's actionable, you're saying.
Not only is it actionable, but you can have punitive damages which have no relation to the actual damage.
Oh, nice. Knas. Okay. Yeah, no, so to me, when I first read this Gemara way back, the first time, it always troubled me deeply, frankly. Why does the Gemara think it's so poshut that if it's zelo nenev, zelo koser, that there's nothing, to talk about? Then, being aware of this discussion of the Sma on the tour, I was much happier. Again, I just instinctively have a very strong, healthy, I guess, respect for and view of Bailus, even in a more formal and titular way. The other side of the coin, as we'll soon see, is that you called it a bundle of rights. I'm not sure if this is what you meant by it, but what I would say is, in other words, another way to look at this, and I kind of formulated it before, is that if this doesn't legally register in some sort of consequential and tangible way, it's a separate from what, if you violate, whether you get correspondent, quid pro quo kind of, damages or even punitive and so on and so forth. But I'm saying if to begin with, the violations, the trespass, let's say, doesn't register in some sort of financially consequential way, then maybe that's on Bailus. Because maybe Bailus isn't some abstract, right of ownership that makes you the tyrant and you own your property. And particularly once you get to the whole, Karkaliola Mamades, I don't want to get back to Chaska Sabatim. Do we really own property? Maybe we're just, we have a bundle of rights, So if you have a bundle of rights, again, I don't know if this is what you meant by it, but that's when you said the words, this is what triggered in my mind. The bundle of rights are expressed when there are consequential, expressions of rights. And there's a lot of evidence in the halacha in general that bailus, a debate whether bailus is something that is, formal and abstract, like we were saying before, in which case the violation of bailus also could be formal and abstract, or whether it is very pragmatic. It just reduces, to this right and that right and then next right, in which case, again, the violation of ownership itself, requires that there be more tangible and measurable, expressions. So I think it's a very fascinating argument. Again, I don't want to get too bogged down just on this point because I want to move further, but I think it's an important issue.
The trespass coming from the old law of England called the common law.
Yeah.
And the law of trespass is really called the breaking of the clothes.
Breaking of the code?
Clothes, C-L-O-S-E.
Oh, yeah.
And not necessarily ownership, but apparently that is a basic common law violation.
It could be a social thing. Just like a governmental policy, we want to encourage the respect, for ownership, and therefore trespass, is something for which there's even punitive damages, not because, per se, more directly, it's a violation of ownership, but because it's just an unacceptable breach.
By laws of money.
What?
You don't have to justify it, the owner, by any
law. I'm saying it's just more like a breach of social etiquette, or something which potentially, threatens, the social order. So, yeah, I think it's a fascinating thing, but again, it's all embedded in these discussions. Anyways, that's what that.
How does this parlay with the Tosfos that we learned that he can actually lock someone out of the house?
Yeah, we'll get to that. But that's Grum.
But that's still tremendous infringement on his.
I mean, the truth is that all Grumma like that is all Grumma is I mean, Grumma is means that you've caused, or in some cases you've contributed to the cause of a loss. But
he applies it to this case.
What?
Tosos applies it specifically to this.
Right. Tosos says that even Chaser below Nene is not going to be Chayil. But again, the truth is we'll get back to this. But most Rishonim disagree with Tosos. I mean, if you look at the gra on the side here, it says near be'enai aval arif, the sharp poskim, right? Kosvu the kaigav mechayv ayin barash. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to do that today. But you know, if not, you know, we can do it over the summer. But right. So the majority view actually is against polytosis. The rif, the Rambam, the Rush, and so on. They think that chaser below nene is chayiv, and therefore, you know, even the possibility of lo nene velo chaser, maybe that's a step up, right? But you're right; it's a very good point. If you hold like Tosis and you think it's always grumma, you know, it's going to be very hard to ever think that lo nene velo chaser is going to be more, unless again you think it's this, you know, proclamation, you know, at the outset that changes the whole equation. That's still possible. Yeah.
According to the SMA, how do you calculate the nezek?
How do you calculate
the amount?
I'm guessing. I mean, do you calculate it in terms of the what would have been the hana, or what would have been the, or what would have been the mazik?
Yeah.
I have to check. I don't remember that point. I don't know if I'm not. I don't even remember if he. If he relates to that point or not. It's in some kibbutz if katan yadalid. It's a really good question. I don't know why I didn't think about that. In other words, is it the lower of the two? Probably, I'm guessing it would be the lower of the two, right? But I'm not 100% sure. It's a good point. Okay. So anyway, that isn't even the main discussion here. The main discussion is the next point. So the Gemara says, because the Gemara assumes this is nothing. Okay. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the case. The case is that the Bechatzah is Kaimela Agra, so you use it for income, and therefore in this particular case you're threatening that. Okay, it's fascinating also. The Gemara never makes the distinction, you know, between whether they're happen. The Gemara speaks about whether or not you typically, right, utilize your this property, you know, as an income generator, right? For some reason, they don't discuss, you know, whether Lamaisa, you know, there were potential clients, you know, at this particular point in time. They don't seem to care about that. Or you could say it's so obvious that it's just implicit. But again, something to think about. And I'll explain what I mean by that a little bit more later. But just an interesting thing. If it's Chatzar to Kaimel Agra, that seems to be enough. If the market is very soft, you know, or soft this night, so it's very unlikely or even demonstrable that no income was lost in particular, it doesn't seem from the Gemara and from the Rishonim that they care about that. Again, it's something that always struck me. You would have thought that would be an upfront, you know, factor, right? Which sounds like that makes it a little bit more of a formal halacha. Not so much pragmatic loss, as we'll see, but something a little bit different. Okay. Anyway, the Gemara says that's not the case, because that's Zenenev and Zechoser. Right? And Zenenev and Zechoser, you certainly have to be Chayiv. Oh. So the Gemara says, L'tricha, v'chatzah v'lokayim aliagra v'gavr da'avid l'megar. The case is a case where, you know, an in-between case, where there is Zenenev, because it's Gavra to Ovid Lemegar, he doesn't have other options, right? So he's going to have to pay for a hotel, he's going to have to pay for a hotel. However, this particular person doesn't use his property for income. So it's Zeh Lo Chaser, but it's Zeh Nen. Oh. And the question is, my? So, what do we do with this case? Matzi, Amar, my chasartich? Can the other guy say, can the squatter say to the owner, what's the big deal? You haven't lost anything by my squatting here, by my staying here, in your property. Odilma Matzi Amar, ha ishanis. Or can the other guy say, you benefited freely, right? Even though I didn't lose, but you should still send me a check because hana'asi gabech, or something like that. Oh. So that is the safek in the Gemara. What is the din of ze nene, the ze lo chaser? But of course, what we really don't know yet is, again, what the relationship is between these two things, right? Oh. So the Gemara says, omele masnisen hi. So this is, of course, the deflating part. I mean, he said to him, oh, you missed an amazing, shear. Pity you weren't in the tchum, right? And then, he took the bait. He finds out the topic. Instead of saying, oh, I'm kicking myself. I really wish I had been there. He says, kind of yawned at him a little bit. And then he said to him, an explicit Mishnah. Right? Talk about one-upsmanship. So the Gemara says, it's a Mishnah. Two could play at the same game. So he says to him, it's a Mishnah? Yeah. Right? Which one? Hey, Masnisen. Right? Just like, he wanted him to say which, what was the topic. So he says to him, Amalei, he knew he had piqued his curiosity. He said, L'chi tishamishli. I'll tell you after you do something nice for me. Okay? So there's an interesting Gemara. So the Gemara says, Shakol Sudre Karachle. Okay, it wasn't so rigorous, but he did something for him, to show his interest. And then he said to him, Amalei, Im Nenes Mishalem, it's Masha Nenes. It's the Mishnah in Bava Kama, the Futasimid base. The one that we just came from, which is why this Gemara is here, of course. Oh. So, of course, that, we all understand right away, isn't such a simple matter. So, between all the ones in upsmanship, we need to understand all these views, but there's something, very fascinating going on in this Shaklantarya. Of course, the problem is, as the Gemara itself says, so he answered, he turned to him and he said, Amar Rava, Kambalo Choli Velo Margish, Gavra de Marasaya. The Afagav de Lodomi Lamasnisin, Kibulamine. He said, this guy really has good siyata deshmaya, because even though what he said was substantively wrong, right, he was still right about the conclusion. I mean, he was right that zenene, vizelo chaser, should have to pay, right? But he was wrong in characterizing that Mishnah as an example of zenene, vizelo chaser. Why? Because why? Because in the case that we're interested in, the shear, the scintillating shear, was about zenene v'zelo chaser. But the case of the Mishnah is not a case where there's no chaser. The owner of the fruit that was eaten by the, the chadgadja was is out $100 of chitim or sorim, probably. Right? So that's not zenene v'zelo chaser. That's zenene v'zel chaser. So he is chayiv l'shalim mashanene, right? But the reason for that chiyuv is not zenene v'zelo chaser chayiv, but zenene v'zel chaser. Says the Gemara, Rami Bar Chama, when he said this, he had to have something in mind. He wasn't going to mix up, Zenene v'zelo chaser and Zenene v'zelo chaser. That's the whole point here. So he said, Stam peiros b'shus harav mafgure mafgir lahu. Meaning, it's not exactly chaser, because when somebody puts their food in b'shus harabim, right, they understand, they're implicitly being mafkir. That it's fair game for the people who come. And the Bali Tosis point out, Lo legamri, the imloke na filo mashanen is lo mishal. If you really mean that it's hefker, then why is he paying even mishale mashanenis? Right? If I'm mafker something and then somebody or their animal comes along and eats it, they don't have to pay me at all. Right? Ela misyaish mehem, shesavur sheiskalkalu, machmas, he's more gives up hope or he's resigned to the possibility of a loss. Right? He's resigned to the possibility that they'll build kilkul machmas sherabim dorsim aleihem ad shelo yavo ledmei mashanenis. And therefore he'll probably only be able to recoup, you know, mashanenis and not mashanizak. That's how Tosis reads the Gemara. I think I mentioned last time another possibility, if you don't want to say what Tosis says, and that is that maybe what's going on in the Gemara is that the Gemara is really weighing the question that we raised in the Mishnah. You know, and that two parts of it. And that is, number one, how do you understand the Ptur of Rishus HaRabim in Shein Verego? Right? Because one way to look at the Ptur is that there's no Mazik and there's no basis for a Chiyuv. And maybe that's what the words Afkure Mafka really mean. Meaning, of course you're not Chayiv Shein Verego Rishus HaRabim, because if you're allowed to walk with your animal in public, right, then if the animal naturally does, you know, he goes about his business in a natural way, but he ends up being, you know, responsible for the destruction of property, you know, in that natural format, then that's not called a Maisa Hezek. You know, we're sorry for the loss of the owner, but it's Agav Gerara, we'll call it, or Dabar Dimimela. You know, and no one calls that a Maisa Hezek. Is that kind of Afkure Afker? Maybe. On the other hand, if you thought that Ptur Shein Verego Pshus HaRabim was more of a Chiddush, it's not that, you know, there's no Hezek, it's just that the Torah is Mechadish, that you're Patur, or maybe like the Rush I mentioned last week, who says it's like a policy. You know, we really should be Chayev if your animal eats somebody else's property or steps on somebody else's property and destroys in Rishus HaRabim. But we do want people to use Rishus HaRabim, and it would be kind of draconian, right, to insist on the strict, on what should have been the strict halacha, you know, once we want people to feel comfortable walking around with their animals, right, in public. And therefore, Doraisa, right, the Torah was Mechadesh, Doraisa, that you're exempt. Okay, but if that's the case, then maybe that exemption is kind of a begrudging exemption, because we have no choice. You have two options, right? Strict din, you know, but then people are going to, you know, shy away from using Rishus HaRabim, and maybe that'll affect their quality of life, commerce, all sorts of things. Or, for the Doraisa itself, you know, to swoop in and to make this an exception to what otherwise would have been a basis for chiyuv. So then, maybe a good compromise is mishalemes mashanenes, meaning it's not as if you didn't do anything wrong here, like there's no nezek or no maisa hezek. There is a maisa hezek, right? Just that it's a p'tur based on zeros akasim, or it's a p'tur based on a doraisa policy consideration. But why should we go so far and apply this p'tur in a way where the you know, the responsible party ends up not only not paying, but benefiting? He benefits and the other guy loses. That doesn't seem fair. So it could be it's about p'tur Rishus HaRabim, or about Mishalei Mashanenes. Does Mishalei Mashanenes have to do with rehabilitating the Nezek, like we were saying before? Meaning, or it's a din in its own right. It's a mechayev in its own right. It's just a din that whenever A is responsible for B benefiting or being enriched, then by definition, he, you know, incurs a debt. Mamoni gabach. The other fellow has always the right to say to him, listen, you know, your enrichment, you know, stems from me, and therefore I have rights to collect for that. Okay, so that's the Shakavataria of the Gemara, that part of it. And that's, of course, very, very important. Is a question, or are we good? Okay. So let's continue this on for another couple of minutes. So the Gemara says, listen, Tana, right? We still, you know, are not so confident that we've resolved the question of Zen Nene Zelo Chaser. So we quote another Mishnah in Bava Basra. Mishnah says in the beginning of Bava Basra that Amakiv Chaver Begibul Rechosav. Again, we'll use Rashi's interpretation. There's an interior owner and an exterior owner. Right? In other words, you have one person who owns fields that surround another person's fields. So the person on the inside and there's a person on the outside. Reuven, let's say, owns property, you know, and Shimon surrounds him on the outside. Okay? In the same direction, though, on the outside. But, you know, in all in different directions, but it's on the outside. So Makif Chaver, Begimel Rechosav, so let's say Shimon, right, the outside, you know, the exterior owner, let's say he builds fences in three directions. Okay? The Gadar Sarishona, Sashniya, Sashlishis, Ein Mechaibinosa. So you can't, you send a bill to the interior guy who's also benefiting equally from the wall, or somewhat from the wall, because the property is still not gated. Right, because there's still a fourth direction, so anybody, you know, it's still not getting the full benefit of it. So there's no check to be set. But the implication is horavius. But if the fourth wall was completed by the makif, by the exterior owner, then the chayvin also, then we would obligate the interior owner to make a contribution to the wall. Right? Like who pays for the wall? This is the question. Right? Shma mina zenene v'ze lo chaser chayiv. He's benefiting, meaning the interior guy, because the exterior guy built walls that completely close off his property. So he didn't spend a penny. Right? And by virtue of the neighbor, you know, and his expenditures, so now he has a fully, you know, protected property. And Zenen, but it's Zelo Chaser, because the other guy didn't do it for him, and he had to do it anyway. Ah. So we see from here, Zenen, but Zelo Chaser, Chayiv, says the Gemara, Shiny Hasam, the Amalei Ad Garamtli, Hekefa Yaseira. Gemara says, no, this is also not Zenen, but Zelo Chaser. This is Zechaser. This Zechaser, in one respect, is much more questionable than the previous chaser. The previous chaser was the Shein Berego Bishus Arabi. Right, where clearly on a pragmatic level, take the halacha out of it, right, Ruvain's shore ate Shimon's Saorim. Right, that is a loss. Only question is it Alpidin a loss? Considering it's a big cup. Like for the last year, I get such a big cup. That's amazing. It's something to look forward to for next year. I could probably leave it in here for next year. So the point is that previously the question was about the legal, meaning pragmatically there's a loss. And the question is, does it register? Because legally you're potter for Shein Berego, but just a rabbi. Now that's what I was kind of suggesting might be at core. Here, there is something objective, right? But it's totally passive. Meaning, in the Mishnah New Testament days, Reuven's cow or sheep or whatever, right, ate Shimon's tvua. Here, the interior owner exists, and by virtue of the fact that he exists, right, he's Goram Lo Hakefa Yaseira. Right? That means that the area, had he not existed, right, or had the property that he owned been owned by the Makif, right, then there wouldn't have been a need for as big a wall. But he doesn't do anything. He didn't do anything. He just exists. He exists and he owns property on the interior. that constitutes chaser? You can have a chaser b'sheva al ta'asa? Right? So that's an interesting question. Again, we're just touching on some of these things. This is a massive topic all over Shas. The main sugi happens to be here, but a sugi above Basra, a sugi above Metzia, a couple sugi above Metzia, right? And, you know, other examples later on. So what you need to really do, you know, to do this properly, is to try to, you know, pay close attention to the definitions here. Like, what is nene and what is chaser? Active, passive, you know, a chaser which is concrete but not legal, you know, one which is passive and not active, and so on and so forth. Okay. Anyways, that's what the Gemara says. Tashma, Amar Yosi, im amad nika v'gadar sarivis megalgan alavas hakol. What happens if a different scenario? And that is that the nikaf, the interior fellow, right? He builds the last wall. Ah, so if he builds the last wall, says the Gemara, it seems, and if he builds the bas law, the Gemara says megalgan alavas hakol. Once he builds the fourth wall, he has to also pay a share for the three. Because, you know, once he has sealed off his property, you know, because of the other three walls, it's effective. And, obviously, you know, by building that fourth wall, he demonstrates, right, that he cares about this. Right? It's Gila Milsa, you know, he, the Nichale. Tam of the Godar Nikav. Maybe that's because he was Megala Milsa. Right? A Makiv. But the implication is that if the Makiv had finished the wall and done the fourth one, then it would have been Patur. So that proves the opposite. Shema Mina Zenenev Zelo Chaser Patur. Says the Gemara, no. Shiny Hasam to Amalei Ledidi Sogali Binatira Barzuza. Okay, this is very similar to our discussion about, you know, how much do you pay when you pay mashanenis? Do you pay the saorim or do you pay the tevin? So here too, it's an interesting question. If there's more than one value associated, well, let's say the wall, right, was built with expensive material, a marble, beautiful marble, you know, steel, whatever it is, aluminum, whatever the, you know, whatever it is, that kind of a wall, right? But let's say, what's the function of the wall? If the function of the walls has a griya, privacy, right, anything that is solid is going to serve that function, even if it's the cheapest, most, you know, flimsy material. If the function is to keep out animals, etc., it depends what, you know, what's threatening, you know, the property. Or what about a situation where the better material is more effective, and therefore there's certain an added value, but in order to accomplish the minimum goal, you know, of being fenced off of other people's vision or whatever, you don't need that kind of a wall, but you might benefit from that wall. It isn't just aesthetic, right? So these are all interesting questions. Once again, this is what the Gemara is suggesting. The Gemara is saying, no, maybe the point is that you don't have to pay for the marble wall. You have to pay the tevin equivalent of that wall. Okay, that is the discussion of the Gemara. Okay, and the Gemara continues with this line. I'm just not going to get as far as I want today. If I don't skip a little bit, you'll read the next part of the Shakavataria on your own. Okay, that's going to skip towards the end. In the end, the Gemara suggests that there may be a couple of other factors involved here. So let's skip to Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, skip some of the other rayas for a moment. Shalach Lei Rav Abba Bar Zab de Lamori Bar Mar. Boi Minem Rav Huna, Hador Bechotach Haver Shalom Bidai to Tzorach Ahalas Lo Schar Olo. Adhoch Inok Nafshei Vai De Rav Huna, Amalei Rabba Bar Yidai. So Rabba Bar Rav Huna said, Hochi Amar Abba Mari, Mishmei De Rav, reports of what his father said. Eino tzarech lahalas l'schar. Asokha b'ayis miruvein ma'aloschar l'shimon. Says the Gemara, Shimon ma'avidite. Who? What is Shimon here? Hochi kamar. Nimtza b'ayis shel Shimon ma'aloschar. If a person you know, mistakenly thought that one person owned the property and not the other, let's say one used the property for income, the other did not, so, you know, you of course, you know, it should depend upon the person who really owns the property, not on the mistaken owner. Okay. The Gemara says Tarki, but isn't there a stira whether, in general, Zenene Vezelo Choser, meaning the situation of a property which is Lokai Meliagra, right, but Gavra Abud Lemegar, whether you have to pay or not, says the Gemara, no. Or the Kai Meliagra, or the Lokai Meliagra. Itmanami Amar Abchia Bar Abin Amar Rav, Amar La Amar Abchia Bar Abin Amar Rav Huna, right, Hadar Bechavza Chaver Shalom Yidaito Enet Zorah Klahalas Laschar, Vasokher Bayis Mi Bnei Ha'ir, but if you rent from the Bnei Ha'ir, Ma Laschar Lebailim. So the Gemara says, Lebailim, Ma'i Benetayim, who are the Bailim here? Says the Gemara, Hakikamar, Nimtzu Lo Bailim. If it turned out there were other owners, Mal Nuscha Tarti. Once again, the Gemara asks, that's a stira. Says the Gemara, Hod Kaim Meliagra, Hod Lo Kaim Meliagra. Okay. So basically, what the Gemara seems to be concluding here is that Zenene Beze Lo Chaser is Potter. Okay, that's the trend in the Gemara. Finally, the Gemara says, Omrav Schor, Marav Una, Marav. If a person squats on someone else's property, ain't tzarich lahalos lo schar. He's not obligated to pay. Shum shenemar sha'eha yukas shar. So this is what exactly this is. The way Rashi interprets it is he doesn't have to pay because being in the property is beneficial for the owner. Because otherwise the mazikin will take over. And of course other Rishonim, we're not into mazikin so much. Say, you know, mazikin doesn't really mean mazikin. You know, it can be little maziks, you know. It can be all sorts of other things, you know, that happen in a property when it's not, when it's left, you know, and it's neglected. Right? So, all sorts of things happen, right? You can have, like, a property that gets, you know, boarded up and pipes burst and all sorts of things. So, sha'eha yukas sha'a. Meaning, so this is a very interesting wrench a little bit into the whole works here. Previously, the Gemara was discussing a real case of Zen, or discussed in terms of Zen Nene, one person's Nene, Vezelo Chaser. Or you have benefit without any kind of you know, deterioration. Now, it turns out what we're really saying, or it sounds like maybe what Rav Schor is saying, is that this isn't Zen Nene, Vezelo Chaser. What is it? Right? That's a different story. Yeah.
But the Gemara doesn't see, I'm asking, but the Gemara addressed the issue of easements. Easements are a continuous, obvious trespass on someone's property without a response over a period of time.
No, we're not talking about this isn't Cheskes Avad. Is that what you're asking? Meaning this isn't, we're not worried about somebody making a claim that he bought the property. Remember that, again, we're not learning Cheskes Avad now, but in Cheskes, unlike secular law, I remember we did have this discussion years ago when we had the Cheskes Avad about the 9/10 of possession, 9/10 of the law. The halacha thing, without a taina, Without a claim that you really bought the property, the fact that you've been living in a property never makes you the owner. It just doesn't. Again, what it can do, this is a first parak, that's the third parak of a Basra issue. A first parak of a Basra issue is that if you do something, if you take license, you know, you do something in somebody else's property and he never says anything to you, do you gain a kind of cheskas tashmish without a taina? That's a debate in the Rishon. That's karka, you can never acquire karka, but just by virtue of neglect alone. Even if he knows you're there, unless you claim that you made a kinyan, or that he was mochel, explicitly. But implicitly, anything like that just doesn't work. As for tashmishim, can you have a chazak on tashmishim? Does that also require a taina? That's a massive debate among the Rishon. So this isn't the issue here. The issue here is more, everybody knows who owns a property, or eventually knows who owns a property, and the question is, you know, one man is benefiting, but there's no downside for the other fellows, and if they're a chaser. But Rav Skora Rav Huna has a new wrinkle. Now again, it's fascinating because I guess, you know, we all know people who have no property know, I don't know about the Mazikin part, but the idea that, you know, that, you know, that this benefit, you know, when people are in and out of the property, you know, they're also, you know, looking at, you know, what's happening there and so on, and it's a deterrent for other people and for other creatures, including Mazikin, but not necessarily only Mazikin, right? So we understand that, but the question is, how seriously do we take it? I'll explain that. I'll tell you in a minute. So the Gemara says, "Amar Amar Amar Ravashi, Ledidi Chazili, right to Umbangoch Kitura." He's talking about these, you know, Mazikin. Okay, Rav Yosef Amar Besa Mitzvah Yasi. Oh, he had a different, slightly perspective. Same idea, but Besa Misva Yasiv. Rashi explains, Baishu Miyusha Badiris Bnei Adam Yasiv Yeshuvo Kayam Shahadarim Betocha Roi Ma'utzarech Umetaknin also. He also, like Rav Skora, is suggesting that there's a kind of a, well, or at least on it looks like it, it's Zenene on one side and Zenene Vizelochasra on the other side. But he's not talking about Nazikin or your deterioration per se. What he's saying is that, you know, when you have somebody in and out of the house, you know, so they know that there's a leak, you know, before it's too late. Or they know that there's a, you know, creaky step, you know, before, you know, the termites, you know, completely, you know, eat away. And they know what to call, you know, the exterminator or, you know, whatever it is. In other words, they know, so there's a benefit for somebody being around in a property. As well, the Gemara says, "My binayu, he came out to come ishtamish be betzivi betivna." Let's say, you know, you do use the property, but no one lives in it, but you use it for storage. So it's not exactly neglected, right? But it is. It doesn't have the benefit of somebody actually living there, knowing the ins and outs. You know, so he hears a new creak. He knows, you know, again, you know, that the heat isn't really coming up. You know, etc., etc. Okay, but what does this all mean? So the Gemara, so this, here's a major machlokas on Rishonim, I should just mention. What does this mean? What is the relationship between this idea that Zenene Vezelo Chaser is Potur, which we've been saying till now, and this new idea that Rav Skora and the other brought in, and that is that, you know, there's a benefit to the owner, not just that it's not Chaser, but it's a benefit to. So this is a major argument in the Rishonim. Some of the Rishonim say, yeah, there's just two views of the sugya about Zenene v'zelo chaser being potter. Some say it's bidin Zenene v'zelo chaser. Another say if it would really be Zenene v'zelo chaser, it'd be chayev. But it's really Zenene v'zenene v'lo chaser. Okay. Some think that's a machlokas. Rabbeinu Yonah was of the opinion that lahalacha, for example, that we only require, that we must require zenene on the other side. That really, if it was zenene zelochaser alone, that you'd actually be chayim. The Rush says exactly the opposite. The Rush says, even though the Gemara and Rav Skora brings this in, he's telling you, by the way, you know, number one, zenene zelochaser is potur. That's what he's saying. And number two, he's saying, by the way, there's also an additional, benefit here, you know, and that there's an additional nana on the other side of the ledger. But it's legally immaterial. That's not what's koveya, the psak. And then there's the Shita Sarajra, which is fascinating. The Rajba says, listen, the truth is that there is always a little bit of wear and tear in a home. And from that point of view, it's impossible to say, you know, zenene v'zelo chaser, because the Rajma Shita. Rajma says there's always something, you know, the drisas ragle adam. Again, from a homeowner's point of view, these are fascinating. Are these really factors, you know, legal factors? In other words, the benefit that people have that somebody's in the house and is, you know, looking into things, or it looks occupied on one side, and what about the wear and tear on the other side? So the Rajba says basically, what Rav Skora was doing was he was neutralizing the wear and tear factor. He was saying, listen, if you have, you know, Zenene v'zelo chaser is potter, but a house You know, and squatting is never really completely zenenev zel chaser. It's always zenenev yesh chaser purta. You know, the drisas haregalim, the hashcharas hakasalim, you know, and so on and so forth. As far as that is concerned, Rav Schara was saying, yeah, but it's really zenenev zel chaser because, you know, that's one side of the ledger, but on the other side of the ledger, there's also a little bit of hana because of shayal yukas shar or. Or Tivna, the Tivna, and so on. Okay, so this is a very major argument. Then finally, the Gemara concludes. The Gemara says, "How gavred banu padna kil kolasa v'yasmi." This fellow built a palace on the kil kolasa v'yasmi. Their you know rundown property, right? Agve Rav Nachman la padne mine, and Rav Nachman took it away from him, you know, confiscated it from him. So he says, "Leva kasavra of Nachman, Rabbi Chatzav Chaver, Shlomo b'dayt tzarich lahalas l'schar." Is that because he's a trespasser? And even if there's no downside here, maybe they improve the property, right? So, but this is, so he still you have to pay. Says the Gemara, "Hahu meikara karmanoi havadairi bay the yavel liyas midaber muad," because the people used to live there actually used to pay them something, right? Amale, and then they said to the guy who you know. Who improved even the living lodgings, and they said to him, Zil paisinu liyasmi, like, you know, pay them, you know, some small amount. Velo ashkach, and they refused to listen, so therefore, agbe rav nachman lapadne. This is the major Gemara. Okay. The debate, there are several debates in the Gemara which are critical that I wanted to speak about very quickly. So, we paskin zenenev zelo chaser's part. And the question is this fundamentally the case, or is this for extraneous reasons and considerations? So I think that mostly, again, I'm simplifying, there are like four approaches to this topic. The first is, or the first two are, that the reason that we pass Gemzenen of Zelochasar Potter is because of side reasons, again, extraneous reasons. Fundamentally, Zenene. The Zelo Chaser, you should be Chai. What are those extraneous reasons? So one possibility is that there's kind of an implicit Mechiva. If there's no Dine Mamanah's damage, so it's likely that people aren't going to be Makpid. Rabbeinu Yonah in Bava Basra may be saying this, sounds like he's saying it, in Bava Basra Dabdalad Omid Beis. In Mukha Yosef, here on the spot, I'm not going to read it because everything's going to take too long if I read it, but Mukha Yosef has a very long piece on this whole sugya in which he quotes either the Ramah or the Ra'ah again and again, and he hits like every basic question and issue. Anyways, the Ramah says, Yesh Amru, that the reason that Zenen of Zelo Chasar is because of Mechila, and then he says, I think it's wrong. I think it's totally wrong. Why? Because you see from the end of the last Gemara in the Sugya of the Yisomi. Gemara applies the din of Zenen of Zelo Chaser to Yisomi. So, but Yisomi Marlab B'nei Mechila Ninu. They're too young. Yisomi here means Ktana, of course. Not just that they're orphaned, but they're Ktana. So he says, how can it be Mechila? Moreover, shouldn't it always depend whether the person in question has a reputation of being a kapton or not? Right? So the truth is, what will Rabbeinu Yonah say? You have to look at Rabbeinu Yonah Bal Basra. Not 100% clear that he thinks that the reason is Mechila. Could be that the possibility of being something that is Bar Mechila is also something which is Nitan to the din of Zenenev Zelochasar Potter. But not because of Mechila, it could be that Mechila is a way of characterizing a certain type of property. So, I know I didn't explain that in detail because I'm rushing, but that's something to think about. The Machne Ephraim, in a famous piece, also says, and other Achronim also think, that Mechila is the basis for this din, Zenen of Zelo Chaser. What do they do with Yisomim? So, obviously, what they think is that that it isn't a direct mechila, it's kind of an implicit mechila, like the default is that members of Klal Yisrael in such a circumstance, you know, are not going to be makbid to collect. And we find, I'll just give you one example, is a debate between the Rambam and the Ravid in Hichos Mechira, Perek Chavtes, Halachates, not the usual one, you know, about it's the same Rambam, but about Kinyan Sudar, that's where we learned Kedusha a couple of years ago, talked about that Rambam. But on the same Rambam, the Rambam talks about Ketanim, and the Ravid says, Ketanim should not have the din of Shtus, you know, of Onah, Pachas Mishtus. Typically, and when it comes to pricing, right, what we do, what we say is, not in Karka, but in Petaltalin, that the shiur is 1/6, right? And less than a sixth, if there's a discrepancy, it's less than a sixth, you know, discrepancy of price, Pachas Mishtus, so the Gemara says that's subject to Mechila. Says the Ravid, but if it's really subject to Mechila, then it shouldn't apply to Ketanim. Because Ketanim are not B'nai, Mevid, Mechila. So others say, well, that, we don't really mean Mechila, we mean the price range. It's a way of saying that, like, you know, there's the discrepancy in pricing only begins after a six. The six is like a flexible range, you know, higher or lower. That's within, you know, there isn't one price. There's a range price. And if you go beyond that range, you know, then you're overpricing or underpricing, etc. Okay, I'm just giving you the idea. In other words, sometimes we apply mechila even when the gavra, the particular individual, is not capable of mechila, because we don't mean his personal mechila. We mean that these kind of transactions default, right, are subject to mechila. Okay. Anyways, that's one possibility. The second possibility, which is very intriguing, is that their basis, and this is what the Rav Yah famously says, all the Chachmei Ashkenaz here quote it, meaning the Arzarua and the Mordechai, Hagos Maimonios, Hagos Ashri, all the, you know, Germanic Balei Tosfos material, they all quote this tshuva of the Rav Yah, and Balei Tosfos already hint at it as well. If you look here, Tosfos, Dibra Maschil, Ha'is Anis, on top of Kafon Beis, Tosfos says, Afilu Manomer Perakamad Baba Basra, Kofinos Al Midas Nom, Yabina Nachad Mitzra, Shiny Hakasha Yachal Mono Mitchila Miligdor Bebeso, Milodor Bebeso. Everybody see that? What is that? You have to know what he's talking. I mean, what is he talking about? Tosfos is basically saying maybe the reason behind Zed Nenev, Zelo Chaser. Tosfos is going on the Mandomar says, well, Zed Nenev, Zelo Chaser, you should pay because you were Nenev. The Tosfos says, well, what about Kofenos Al Midas Stone? So I want to talk about Kofenos Al Midas Stone just for a couple of minutes. So Tosfos says, it's not the same case. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. But the Rav Yah, actually, this is the famous view of the Rav Yah, says no, the reason that we paskin zen nene vizelo chaser, it's a function of kofenos al midasto. Okay? Wow. That's kofenos al midasto. Why does Tosa say it's wrong? Because Tosa says, shiny hacha shayachalemona mitchila miladur bebeso. What do you mean? Tosa says, if the guy, this is what Tosa says, what I referred to before when I was talking about the Sma. What Tosa is saying here is that if you explicit in advance, if the case of the Gemara is a case where somebody squats on your property, right, and then, you know, now that he did it already, he didn't ask permission, you didn't give him permission, you also didn't know he was going to do it, or you didn't say anything about it, and now the question is, can you charge him after the fact? Let's say the guy in advance said, no one's allowed on my property, or this particular person, you should just know you're not allowed on my property. Does that matter? So it seems, according to the Rav Yah, it doesn't matter. Which is remarkable. I mean, the Rav Yah seems to say that the din of kofenos al midas tom applies even, I'm just going to take another couple of minutes, even in a situation where the fellow in advance refuses. I mean, according to the Rav Yah, he has no right to refuse. Ad kedei kach is the mida of I guess, call Yisrael Reivim Zelazev, Yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, whatever it is, it's considered midas tom as long as it's zenene, as long as it's zelo chaser, even if the person proclaims his pain. And Tosas thinks not. So the Rishonim disagree. Some of the Rishonim say, you can never have kofanos on midas tom in this case. Number one, because a person can make, can declare, I refuse. But more than that, the way the Rosh explains it, the Rosh says, listen, if he was a person who decided to turn his property into income, right, if this was Chaim Eliagra, couldn't he do that if he wants? Sure, it just happens that he doesn't. He could change his mind, or he could have changed his mind. So either way, this should not constitute kofanos al midas tom. It's an interesting argument. The Nemuka Yosef, quoting the Ramah, goes even further and says, the only time we really apply the din of kofanos al midas tom is in a situation that doesn't involve breaching someone else's sovereignty or ownership or title. Meaning, for example, the Gemara has cases like, Reuven is not allowed to build a window in his own house because it violates the rules of Hezekiah, of Tznius. Right? However, if there's some alternative, you know, and he can, you know, make a suggestion that'll work for him, so then he could build it as long as it's Zenin of his Elochaser. But the way the Brahman goes further, in other words, the Rosh says, whenever in theory, right, one could charge, even if you personally don't, that's not kofanos al midas tom. And the Ramah goes further and says, kofanos al midas tom only applies when there is no violation of bialus at all. Meaning, you're talking about a restriction of a person's functioning in his own property, and we're saying that particular restriction, right, should not be imposed in circumstances where there's no downside to the other party. Or, for example, Bar Mitzvah. Come to the case in Balvasra. Like, there are two people, right, who are supposed to get a Yerusha, and one of the fields, right, is a Samuch to another field that one of them owns. So the Gemara says, that's a case of kofanos. What are you going to insist that you get the property, you know, that is next to his property, as opposed to you taking the other, assuming there's no other difference, right? So it's Zenen, and there's Elochaser, but that's not a violation of sovereignty, or my sovereignty. So there's a huge and fascinating debate about kofanos al midas tom. I mean, how far do you take it? So some Rishonim was saying, you know, it's a very limited halach. Even then, it's very mechudash. And the Rav Yah says, how far do you take it? Even, right, he has rights in your property. Even when, in theory, right, you could have decided to charge, but it happens that you don't. And you can't prevent him from doing it. That's astounding.
Bernie Sanders.
What?
Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. Scary, right? Sorry, this is at least the name of Yafta Luyacha Kamocha, but or something, I don't know. What I hear. Yeah. I guess this is going to speak about kofanos al midas tom for another minute as we end. That's going to be another 5 minutes. Okay, so this is a major debate about kofanos al midas tom, whether it's the basis for Zenene Zelo Chaser being part. There's a third possibility, and that is with Zenene Zelo Chaser is potur, but it's not extraneous. It's potur because you can't charge him. There's no Chaser. What about the Nene? So you might explain here, and there's also, you have to explain, well, the Nene, you might say, it's not Mamoni Gabach. It's much more amorphous. It's Hana. I think I mentioned this last week, this idea. Meaning, if I lend you money, then of course you have to pay me back, because Mamoni Gabach. Right? Even if it isn't the bills, because Milvalot's on it now. But, you know, I put money in your hands, or value in your hands, clear value. Is the same true with regard to physical pleasure? Or benefit, that's more amorphous, A, more passive in terms of how it came about, and C, is it really connected to me? I mean, it came from me, but how far removed is it from me? Oh. So it could be, this is a big topic, a big theme, I think this is very compelling, and that is that the discussion of Zen Nene, Vezelo Chaser, as opposed to Zen Nene Vezelo Chaser, is all about turning the Hana into a legally actionable commodity. Meaning, we paskin Zen Nene Vezelo Chaser because since it's Lo Chaser, the Zen Nene part is too agav or too abstract. It doesn't really convert into mamoni gabech. But when it comes at someone else's expense, that gives it stature. But if that's the case, then several things may be true. Number one, Tosas here on Chafala from an Aleph says, and most Rishonim agree with this, but the Ramah quotes those who disagree. What if you have, again, we paskin zenene, the zelo chaser is potter. And Zenenev is a chaser, it's chay. We're trying to figure out what did the chaser add here. Because you're not paying for the chaser usually, you're paying, well, that's the question. So Tosa says here, V'yovel yasmi dabar mu'ad, u'machmas kein chayv l'shalem, ma'shenene afa pishalo chisar kol kach. The second Tosa says, v'chein mu'chach kulish ma'itin k'darmina le'el, b'shum shachrirusa de'shisa. The Gemara seems to say also that if the walls, if there is chaser because it's a new house and the walls are blackened a little bit, then you'll pay. It sounds like you don't pay for the, how much does it cost to fix the walls? To bleach the walls? Or to clean the walls? Not the full amount of the nightly rent. Right? They just send in, you know, the cleaners. Or here also, you pay the I collected the whole apadna for the somim because they wouldn't pay the little amount. Oh, so this is the view of the majority of Rishonim, and that is if you have hana meruba chaser purta, right? That the chaser purta triggers a hana meruba. Meaning clearly, according to this view, when you say zenene, vezeh chaser, chayiv, you're not saying that you're paying for the chaser, because the chaser is just $5. Somehow the chaser turns the nene into an actionable commodity. So, let me make it clear. If you hold that the reason Zenene Vizelo Chaser is Potur is because of Mechila, or because of Kofenosal Midas Tome, what I call the extraneous reasons, so then there's no question, we understand very well. As long as there's any Chaser, that changes the whole story. If it's Chaser, it's not Kofenosal Midas Tome. If it's Chaser, there's no Mechila. So of course you pay the full amount. You pay the full amount because you should have been paying for the nana all along. You pay for every nana. Nana is an actionable commodity, but there's mechila, but there's kofenosal midas tome. But if you don't like either of those explanations, why does the chaser, especially little chaser, trigger a big nana? But if the idea is that we need somehow to turn the nana into a legal commodity, and one which is connected to you, right, then you don't necessarily need much for that. So Tosas later on Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, Bava Kama, I'm already running out late, but it's our last year, so give me another couple of minutes. But Tosas and Kuf Aleph and Bava Kama later on has couple of deos. Tosas says a certain case of Samanim, somebody threw somebody else's dyes, you know, into your clothes. You know, so your clothes are now amazing, right? And at the expense of his dyes. But you didn't do it. So the Gemara says, so the Tosa says, but so what? It's Zenene Vezeh Chaser. If you look here just for 1 second, on Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph and Bava Kama. here. The tzava bahu kupa? No, I'm sorry. Odilma? Everybody have it? Kufal from an olive? Odilma ein shevach al shel samanim al gabi tzemer? Tema. Hare nene. Shetzimro me'ula bedamim yoser v'yishalim ashenene. Kamo achla mitzidei rechava b'perek beis. Should be just like, you know, the shame v'regel, but you pay mashenene. Because the guy's clothes or whatever are worth more, and the other one suffered a loss. Yorda legina, dakones, perikelo nairus, tochav lo chabero mashkin shalchem bebe sablia. One guy forced the other fellows. Reuven took Shimon's champagne and he poured it down Levi's throat. The mishale mashanene, meaning he has to pay Reuven. Yesh lechalek the hana the hocha ein ba ayde maisav. It matters whether or not he did it or somehow he benefited but he didn't take action. Why? Who cares? Or if it's or maybe anything but aesthetic. Meaning, within Zen Nene Bezeh Chaser, Tosfos is saying there are some interesting distinctions. Did the Nene create the Chaser? Or someone else, or something else did? Did the Nene enjoy physical pleasure? Or just aesthetic pleasure? Or anything but aesthetic pleasure? Well, why do we care about all this? The answer is, I think the answer is, if we're talking about giving concreteness and legality, legal weight to the hana, then these are all factors that matter. I'll give you one other. The Gemara implied before that if the outside guy builds a fourth wall, you might say zenen if the lo chaser is potter. But if the makif built the fourth wall, then he should pay, and he should pay the full amount of all four walls together, correct? What's the difference? The Tosa says here on Chapulin Beis, sorry, that because I mentioned it before, Gila Milsa, here. Im Amad Nikaf, I'm sorry. Tabad Nikaf Amakad Pater, Tafir Arbana Lo Pli Yel Mishim Dabale Ad Garamtli, Im Tomar Beza Nene. There's a lochaser potter, a fil amad nikaf nami. Yisham a shiny amad nikaf, the gully daite, the nichale behotzaa. The lo dami lador bechatzer chaver, the lo gully adaite, el bechinam. If the nene is megaladas that he would pay, right, then he has to pay even if there's no chaser. Why? So the Marshal actually disagrees with Tosfos here in the Yom Shel Shlomo. He says, What's the difference? But I think the answer is it's a kind of what we call achshave, meaning if the idea is to somehow build up or concretize the Hana, then the fact that he reveals that it means something to him, right, that gives it concreteness. Okay, there's a fourth idea. And then I want to say one more minute about Kofin, and then we'll end. The fourth idea may be that the Bechayiv in Zenenev is a Chaser, is the Chaser. Typically, the Chaser, as we say, shouldn't be enough. So this again goes back to our mission on New Testament days, and that is that sometimes a Nene has the ability to expand either the Tziruf to or the Hagdara of the Chaser. For example, there are some of the cases here. The Rav thought that this is the pshat. He didn't say it exactly this way, but the Rav just pointed out that the dinim here of dor b'chatzo shel chavero shelo midaito, you would have expected that they would be dealt with in hilchos shcheinim or toin v'nitan, right? The Rambam codifies these halachos in hilchos gzeila. The question is, why does he do that? So the Rav thought that really, the Rambam holds that Zeh Nene, the Zeh Chaser, is chayiv not for the hana, but for the gezel tashmishin. But what you need to add here is that typically there wouldn't be, I mean, why do you need hana for that? Well, number one, the Rambam paskens that chaser below nena is chayiv. Unlike, we're not going to discuss that. I thought we would be. But I think the answer is that the hana, just like we were trying to, what I was trying to explain before, was that the chaser redefines or refines or revises the nena. It's a different nena when it comes al cheshbon, al mechir, somebody else. But the other possibility is that it's all chaser related. Meaning, the chaser alone is too grama, right? It's too passive, it's too contributory. But if there's also nene from it, right, then you're chayiv. That's how some of the Rishonim explain why again, if like Tosa says, if there's chaser below nene, right, you are potter because it's grama. So what happens if it's chaser and nene? Still grama, isn't it? So it could be the answer is you're paying for the nene. Fine. But the other possibility is that maybe grama is only patur, right? When because it's not matzurah sufficiently to you. But when you have a grama, right, which is also nene, then possibly you're chayiv. I'll just give you one line just to illustrate that point. What Tosa says here that chaser velo nene is like a person who takes somebody else's keys and throws it in the river. Right? That's grama. Not a good thing, but you're not chayiv for that. So the Rosh says, I don't think that a dor b'chaser chaver or shlomi das is like throwing away someone's keys in the, or throwing them out of their house and not letting them live in the house. I think it's much more than that. Because you're ochel chisrono. By living there, you're eating the chisaron. You're not just causing the chisaron. Okay, that's a very interesting point. Tosus will say you are, technically, but maybe not legally, because what's significant about what you're doing is you're keeping the other fellow out. But I think what the Rush means is the fact that you're doing it, even if it's shelo bahana, but you're doing it al yedei tashmishim shelcha, that expands the chaser. That's no longer considered grama. Okay, let me finish with one final note. Having discussed these four different ways, I have here on a sheet a couple things. You can look at it later on your own. But kofanos almina stuff. So just very quickly, I think this is a very interesting phenomenon. It is in its own right. But again, we started the year talking about is there an Isser Lahazik? Is it all quid pro quo? You know, what is this? And we tried to show, first Gemara I think I mentioned in the year, is one of my favorite Gemaras in Bava Kama, Daf Lamed, Hayman de Boilim Heva Chasida, right? You know, L'kiyume Mili, de Nezikin, de Avos, de Brachos. I guess we could finish on Avos note too, but Avos and Nezikin note. But that's not the connection. What I tried to say then was, what L'kiyume Mili, de the Nezikin. And then the Gemara says, Chasidim Arishonim, right, how you, they used to dig this Chuchoseyam and the Kotzoseyam into the Karka, in their own property, so people wouldn't. So that's Chasidim Arishonim, it's Nezek. Every culture has a Nezek. So the point I was trying to make was, in the beginning of the year, this isn't just Nezek, this is Harchakas Nezakin. This is, if you're limiting your own behavior and your own property, the sake of other people, that's an expression of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelah Zeh, V'Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. An incredible level of responsibility for other people on the Nezek side. The flip side of that is Kofanos Al Midas Tov, especially for the Ravya, who says, you can't even refuse him in advance, and even if you could decide you want to make income, and then you'd be able to charge him, you know, if you choose not to derive income from here, then he can force, you know, his presence upon you. It's shocking in a way, right? And it's certainly not true, like the Rama says, that Kofar Zalmidah never applies, right, whenever there's sovereignty. That's a huge debate about Kofros al Midas stone. Right? And part of it is, the only way you can explain the Rav Yah is through Kol Yisrael Arayim Tel Hazeh. I don't think it means community property. It's not socialism. Right? But it does mean that you don't exercise or manifest ownership, right, when there's no downside to other people. Now, the Rav Yah's Shita is a minority Shita. I think it's very extreme. But you don't necessarily have to go as far as the Ramah either. So it's fascinating that if you have to look at the range, it's two comments quickly. Mishnah here says, Arba Midos Ba'adam. Omer Shali Shali, Shalcha Shalach, or Shalach Shalach, Zumida Beinonis, V'yeshomim Zumida Sdom. So there's a debate among the Rishonim. I'm not going to go through all the Shitos. You know, there's an argument whether this is Mida Beinonis, or it just sounds like capitalism. You know, right? What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. Boundaries. So there's a debate whether that's called Midas Beinonis or Midas Sdom. Maybe. That's the way some Mepharshim take it. Other Mepharshim say, no. It depends on why and what you mean by that. Are you motivated by the Shali Shali part or the Shalo Shalo part? Is this because you have respect for ownership? Or is this because you cannot tolerate the idea that somebody is going to be nene from something that you have? Right? In which case, whether it's Midas Sdom or Beinonis, there's either an argument about the parameters of this, which is fascinating, but equally fascinating is that the perspective, right, which underpins your kpeda, could determine. Rabbeinu Yonah says, I don't understand. Eino nadiv lev hutov shasone matanos. V'kasha, eich yomur zum mida beinonis. Halo hamanei atzom v'liten staka rasha gamor hu. Bishlam the mandamar midas stone masa shapir. Says Rabbeinu Yonah. No. This is a guy who gave tzedakah, but he gives tzedakah begrudgingly. And the debate, there's a debate in the Mishnah, and the debate is, if you give tzedakah, a lot of tzedakah, to virtual tzedakos, to real tzedakos, but you give it begrudgingly, right? Is that kofros al midas stone, as long as you're giving it? All the fundraisers will take it. I can tell you that. And there's an old issue, let's say, with Vodcha B'sitchala, also in general, whether you violate a law when you give tzedakah begrudgingly. But, and we know that you're not supposed to, but that's Midas Stone? Others say, no, this Mishnah has nothing to do with tzedakah. This is all post-tzedakah. You have to give tzedakah. We're talking about his policy. And similarly, the other one. What about somebody who says, Shalcha Shali, V'shali Shalach? So the Mishnah calls that an Am Aretz. There's a debate among the Rishonim. Again, I wish I could go through the detail, the Medrash Shmuel and others, fascinating stuff. Why is it Am Aretz? So some people think it's a good Am Aretz. I mean, he's a Beinoni, but, you know, it's a society based on generosity. Generosity when people need it, or a society which basically denies that there are boundaries of ownership, meaning socialism and communism? Or ownership, but, you know, flexible ownership whenever people need anything. Right? So that's a debate. Amaretz means good. The Reb Chaim Yevilajan says Amaretz here means a benoach. This is alidei seichel. If it's just pure, you know, for other cultures, you know, and from the perspective of logic, that's totally acceptable. The lefnim, Meshur Sadin, that Klal Yisrael is obligated to follow, from that point of view, Beinonis isn't good enough. And you have to be somebody who occasionally says Shali Shalach, and Shalach, Shalach. Right? That's the... So again, what I'm trying to point out is that if you look carefully at the Perushim of this Mishnah, it becomes a vehicle for understanding, you know, a lot of the issues that we've been exploring about the parameters of personal rights, communal rights, the balance between bailus and respect of boundaries on the one hand, and at the same time, generosity and altruism. Again, there are some Farshim who say this about that Am Aretz part of the Mishnah too. If a person says Shali Shalach and Shalach Shalach because he's generous, It's one thing. If he says, Shali Shalach, no, I'm sorry, the Shalach Shali, because really wants the other guy's property, but the only way he can get it, that's obviously negative. So the nuances here are particularly custom. Anyway, I wish everybody a good summer.